And indeed, Lord, everything shall pass away one day. All fame and material wealth, even friendships, are fleeting. At some point along the way, it'll just be me and you standing face to face. All I'll be able to claim, all I want to claim, is that I'd rather have Jesus than anything. I'm grateful for your sacrifice on the cross. I'm grateful that you rose again, the first fruits among many, that we may not all know salvation if only we'd receive that absolutely free gift that you so readily offer to each of us. We thank you for your presence here among us today. We ask for your anointing on our pastor's message and the balance of time to follow here together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, kindergartners and third graders, you're in Hunziker Hall. Fourth to sixth graders, you're down in the library.
Thank you, Marty. Appreciate it. Looking forward to this evening. Pay attention. How many have ever been told to pay attention? You must pay attention. Last April, I think it was, a friend and I were going up to the men's retreat, and I like to go the back way. I like to get on at Pine Grove. And you get on Pine Grove, that's exit number what? You know what it is? Exit number 100. And then you get on 81, you drive north, and you get to exit 116, and you get off there and get on 901 and go your merry way. The destination is Potter County, and that's where we're going. You got to go through Danville, and you got to go through Williamsport in order to get to Potter County, and I understand that. But my friend and I were driving along here, and we're enjoying. We get on Pine Grove, we get on 81, and we're traveling up there, and we're just talking, just not paying attention. And pretty soon I turned to my friend and I said, Did we miss an exit? And sure enough, we started getting in some unfamiliar. We had passed 116, and we were going up. I don't know where we were going. But anyways, so what did we do? Well, fortunately, they have other exits there. How many knew that? They have other exits, and so we got out and came back and got back on track. You know what happened? We weren't paying attention. He wasn't paying attention. I was paying attention, but he was distracting me, and I won't tell you who that person was. But anyways, there are times. How many have ever done that? You've missed an exit? You've just gone right by it, and you're oblivious to it? Those of you who didn't raise your hand, you either don't drive or you're not being truthful, and most of us have missed an exit. We must pay attention. The destination, it was Potter County, but there are a few places that we had to go through. In Hebrews, much the same. Now, we're going to start off, and I'm going to read this, so it won't take a minute, but we got to start off. Attention to what? Pay attention to what? Well, pay attention to the drive. Pay attention to what you're doing. But here, it's something different. Pay attention to what? God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say? He never said this. You are my son, today I have begotten you. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he says, your throne, read that with me, read it with me. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Verse number 9, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Now, when we get to the next part, you need to know this part here. Therefore, because of what we read already in verses 1 through 14 of chapter, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest what? Lest we drift right on by, lest we pass it right on by. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord who? The Lord Jesus, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his will. Pay attention or you will miss your purpose. Folks, I don't know whether you realize this, but God has a purpose for each of your lives this morning. You are not just a blip on some chart. You're not just a speck of dust on the planet. I know sometimes you feel like, when I was a kid, I thought, wow, this universe is so expansive. But to think, and I didn't think that at that time, to think that I am significant to God. Let me tell you this morning, folks, you are significant to God. God cares about you. Well, I don't feel that way. Don't always trust your feelings, folks. Don't trust your feelings. You are significant. God has a purpose for your life. And what he's saying is this. Pay attention or you will miss your purpose. This challenge speaks to everyone in his listening audience. Now, folks, this morning I'm speaking to you, okay? Some of you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're walking in the truth. Some of you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're stumbling along and you're just here because, well, you like your friends. Some of you are here this morning, you may not even have a relationship with Jesus Christ yet. And I understand that. And so I would disagree with some of the commentators. And I'll tell you that up front this morning. I believe this is for everybody who's listening to it, everybody who's reading it. And we'll look at that. And so this morning, this is for everybody. Everybody in this auditorium, this is for you. Listen up. He begins with a therefore, which forces us to review what's just been said and consider what? The action required. The action required. There is action. Now, we've looked at the exposition, or the exposition. Now, this is the exhortation. This is the information. Now, do something with the information that you get. So, there is action required. He speaks to everyone who has heard the gospel message and recognizes the superiority of the Son. Unbelievers are responsible for doing something with this. Every unbeliever. And, folks, I don't know about you, but we have family that are unsaved. You try to witness to them, you share with them, but you know what? After a certain point, there's not much more you can do. They have got to do something with the information. You can't twist somebody's arm into heaven. You can't twist. Unbelievers are responsible before God to do something with the gospel message. And I am absolutely certain that everybody has an opportunity to respond to the light that God gives them. Some will reject it, some will embrace it. And so this morning, the message has to do with unbelievers. They're responsible. Believers are not exempt. Folks, this message is for you. In fact, I would probably lean towards this is more for you and for me who know Christ, because we can miss the purpose for our lives. This is the first of five warning passages, and I'm not going to read those. We'll hit them eventually. But there are five warning passages in the book of Hebrews. And they're all valid for you and for I. We need to pay attention to the warning signs. The challenge is to pay careful attention to with the intent of doing what they have heard. Process the information. Carefully consider what has been said. Now, folks, I've been where you are right now. And I would confess there were times where I was a little sleepyhead. I had other things on my mind. How many ever have? Don't know. I don't even want to know that. But there are times when I don't pay attention. But folks, you know, even last week's message, Gary Caton had a good message. You know what? I've preached through that book. I know those verses. I could have said, oh, well, I know that already. I'll just sit there and do my crossword puzzles to keep me from getting dementia. Oh, boy. It's a long story. Folks, I listened last week. I listened to Gary Caton. Why? Because he was preaching. He was teaching the Word of God. Never get to the place where you think that you don't need that message. I don't care if you have the book memorized. I don't care if you've preached on it 3 or 4 times. There is always something there that God wants to say to you. And so this morning, consider carefully what has been said. It is not enough just to hear the Word of God. I heard the Word of God. Oh, well, good for you. Good for you. That's not enough. It's not enough. You must do something with it. And even this morning, even last week, even every week, you ought to find something in there that moves you a little bit closer to where God wants you for your life. Spiritual drifting. This going past the exit, this drifting past, it's like a stream, and the stream is going by, and you miss the harbor. You missed it. You missed it. Spiritual drifting occurs when tides of time, familiarity with truth, and busyness are allowed to sweep us past God's purpose for our lives. How many here this morning, and don't raise your hand, but I would challenge you, how many here have made commitments when they were teenagers? You went to a snow camp. I remember, I wasn't saved when I was a teenager, but I've been to snow camp before. I've been there as a leader. I wasn't there as a teen, but I've been there as a leader. God spoke to me. I've been to leadership conferences. God spoke to me. I was sitting where you're at. God spoke to me, and I made commitments. After a matter of time, what happens? We begin to drift by. We're not paying attention. And folks, that's what happens. If you're not paying attention to what God has to say to you, you made commitments when you were a teenager, when you were a young person, you made commitments, and after a matter of time, you know what? We forget those commitments. How many are guilty of that? That's good enough. Yeah. And familiarity. Familiarity. Familiarity breeds, go ahead, contempt. And so the Word of God becomes so familiar. I am reading through the book of Jeremiah for about the 50th time. You know what? I'm going to keep on reading through the book of Jeremiah. Well, you read it once. Yeah, that's right. And you know what? I need to read it again and again and again and again and again. Why? Because I'm slow. And if I do not pay attention to the Word of God, I'm going to drift right on by God's purpose. And folks, there are a lot of Christians who are drifting right by God's purpose for their life. You know why? Because they're not paying attention. They're not alert. And so drifting by, busyness. Some folks are too busy for God. When you get too busy for God, guess what? You're too busy. And there are some people, because of the busyness of life, they do not have time to do the things that God wants them to do. And if you're too busy, folks, you need to check out your schedule. You need to check your priorities. And I don't want to bust on you. That's not my purpose. But you know what? The deepest desire that I have for my people is that you become what God wants you to be. Is that okay? Can we do that? That you become what God wants you to be. Without the Word of God, without paying attention, you're not going to get there. You're going to go right on by the exit. You just go, busyness, not hearing, not familiarity after time. We're going to go right on by it. What else? Drifting begins with imperfect hearing. What'd you say? I'm going to have a little bit of imperfect hearing. You know what? If I'm in a position where I have imperfect hearing, that means I'm not really listening. Guess what I do? I move closer. That's why I like to sit in the front. Did you notice every Sunday I sit in the front because I'm so spiritual? No, it's because I got to get up here, okay? But, you know, I like to hear what's going on. Now, some people you can hear from the back. Good for you. But I don't like distractions, and so I sit in the front. And I'm easily distracted. How many easily distracted? I mean, if somebody's doing something, I take notes on what he's doing or what she's doing. You know, I don't want to be distracted. I want to hear. I want to listen. Minimize static. You know what? If I can't get the message, what I do is I get rid of some of the static. And folks, most of us have too much static in our lives. I know some people, you go into their houses, their radios, their TVs are running all the time. They don't like quietness. You know what? I don't have a problem with quietness, especially when the grandkids go home and just sit there for 5 minutes.
Just kidding. No.
But how many know what I'm talking about? You like quiet. And folks, quiet is not bad. Quiet is a time when you have an opportunity to sit and reflect and think about you, your relationship with the Lord, or increase the intensity. You know, if I can't hear well, I just lean a little bit closer. I just listen a little bit harder. See, We miss God's perfect will. We miss God's purpose for our lives when we have imperfect hearing. Then there's careless or sloppy listening. And some of us are guilty. What'd she say about you? You've heard those old folks in rest homes, those conversations. And they overhear a bit in peace, and then another one goes on, and then another one goes on. And it says, we have imperfect hearing. We have sloppy or careless listening. It culminates with an outright unwillingness or refusal to hear. And folks, there is a process here. If you are not close enough to hear the word of God, if you are not close enough to God, my sheep hear my what? Voice. And they follow me. If you're not close enough to hear him, folks, you need to either get a little closer, get rid of some of the static, or lean over a little bit harder and listen closely. Guys, it's worth listening to. It's worth listening to. The challenge is to help them to avoid disaster by drifting right past God's intentions for their lives. Christ-likeness is the intention for every person. God wants every person to be Christ-like, spiritually mature. And how do you start that? Well, unbelievers must come to faith in the Son and begin their spiritual journey. Some listeners were not yet believers. And so for some, it's you got to come to faith in Christ. You got to come to faith. That's the starting point. That's where you begin. For believers must continue to grow in their faith in the Son and come to maturity. This is God's desire and design for each believer. It is not enough just to claim that you're saved. Folks, it's a wonderful thing to be saved, right? True or false? Yes, amen. Wonderful to be saved. Wonderful to be born again. Wonderful to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful to have my sins forgiven. But that's not the end. That's not the goal. That's only Danville. You haven't gotten to Potter County yet. And folks, if you're not in Potter County, you're not in God's country. I read the license plates. I know what it says. And folks, some folks, they say, oh, it's wonderful to be saved. Yes, yes. How long have you been saved? Well, about 400 years. Have you done anything with it? Answer, I didn't know you had to do something with it. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Some people are like, not you. But there are some people like that. Not just enough to claim you're saved. Pay attention or you will pay the consequences. You will pay the consequences. How many have heard that? You want to pay the consequences, right? Okay. No, listen to what happens. The source of the written record, well, let me consider God's dealing with the old, he goes back in the Old Testament. The source of the written record, Old Testament, is God the Holy Spirit. But angelic beings were somehow involved in its communication. We looked at that last week, or the week before. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. Now, that's what he's talking about. And what he's saying is, hey, that happened, man. When God's people transgressed the law and deliberately stepped across the line, there were severe consequences. You know what? One guy was stoned for picking up sticks. True? False. Now, this is the technical thing. He wasn't stoned for picking up sticks. He was stoned for what? Transgression. God had said, don't do this, and he did it. And guess what? He was stoned, yeah, I know technically, he was stoned for, but God had said, don't do it. And he went ahead and did it. And you know what? God is a severe God. Now, folks, I hope you don't have this God who's just like effeminate, who doesn't hurt anybody, who loves everybody, and everybody's going to heaven. If your God is like that, you don't have the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is a God of intense, amazing love. But he is also a God who is severe. And our culture does not like the second part, that attribute of God, where he is a severe God. Folks, read your Old Testament. God is the same today as he was then. Some people say, well, the God of the Old Testament, he's a big old bully. Really? I don't think so. You never read the Bible. If you say that, you haven't read your Bible. You don't know your Bible. And if you haven't read your Bible and you don't know your Bible, you know what you can be called? Go ahead. An ignoramus. Now, I know you're not that. But folks, God is the same yesterday. Is God severe in the New Testament? Answer, yes, he is. Check out the book of Revelation in particular. Well, let's continue. The line is drawn by knowledge and the conscience. And so God gave his Old Testament people knowledge of his will. He placed within them a conscience. And guess what they did? Just like that defiant little brat just stepped over the line. I'll do what I want to do. And folks, that is most of our culture. Oh, some of them say, well, it's okay, and I'll just do what I want to do. And that's okay. I'll be fine. You know what? You won't be fine. You won't be fine. What else does he say? When God's people disobeyed the law and failed to carry out a command, there was a fitting punishment. The first in transgression has to do with deliberately stepping over, and then disobedience is not doing it. In fact, the first is a sin of commission, doing it, and the second, omission. I love that sentence. The words were spoken, and were expected to be taken seriously. God is serious about his word. True or false? True or false? He is serious about his word. And so I need to know his word. Consider God's dealings with those who received a superior communication from a superior source. You had a message in the Old Testament, angelic message, and it was inferior because of who gave it, not inferior in the sense of bad. But nothing matches the message that we have in the New Testament. Nothing matches the Son of God. And so we have an altogether different scenario. The argument goes from the lesser to the greater. If those receiving an inferior message from inferior beings were chastised, how in the world, I like to put in the world, but I don't have enough room in that line, so I just skip it. How in the world will we fare if we ignore this new message? Folks, who's the we? Us. He's talking about us, and he's talking about some kind of severity. We're not told what we need to escape. He doesn't delineate that. He doesn't share that. But there is some kind of penalty that we will find, that we will incur if we ignore what God has to say. And again, it is not the loss of salvation. I assure you that. People have taken the book of Hebrews and they say, well, you can lose your salvation. You know what? Those people do not understand the word of God. And I'll say it bluntly. They don't understand the word of God. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You're in. That doesn't mean. What, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What did Paul say? Meganoito. Are you nuts? Are you crazy? God forbid. Heaven forbid. Whatever. No, you can't do that. But folks, once you're a child of God, you cannot become an unchild of God. And we'll look at that when we get there. We're not told what to escape. There are severe consequences for ignoring God's communique. Disaster awaits unbelievers and believers who ignore God's word. For unbelievers, an eternity without Christ awaits. Folks, I never liked the concept of hell. How many have ever told somebody to go there? Yeah. When I was unsaved, I'd tell people to go there. You know what? There is a real hell. Does that mean I like it? No. Does that mean I like the idea of hell? No. I don't have to like the idea. All I have to do is recognize that the Word of God teaches this topic. I don't like it. And I don't know that anybody has their own mind really likes that. But is there a hell? Answer, absolutely there is. Who goes there? People who reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. People who reject the Messiah as their Savior. And if you don't believe, guess what? In a matter of time, you will. In a matter of time, you will. Everybody in eternity will know the truth. So some of it will be too late. For negligent and therefore immature believers, there is a life of frustration, confusion, defeat, disappointment, resentment, and despair. He does not use the term reject, but neglect. And that's important. We're not talking about rejecting the message. We're talking about neglecting it. And I can neglect. Folks, if I am so self-centered, I can neglect my marriage relationship. True or false? I can neglect my job. I can neglect my car or truck. I can neglect things. That doesn't mean I don't have them. It means I neglect them. I don't follow up on them. And so, I put in two more words here. I could fill that overhead, that PowerPoint slide, with words that would describe Christians who are neglecting their salvation. Frustrated, confused, defeated, disappointed, resentful, despairing. And folks, you know Christians like that. They claim to be saved, and yet they're angry at God, they're angry at people, they're upset, they're miffed, they're all of those things. They're confused. Because they have neglected their salvation, they have not followed up. They do not understand Jesus. They do not understand the God of the Bible. They do not understand forgiveness. And folks, look where they are today. You know what? You could become one. You can become. How many would like to become one of those people? Not me. Not me. But there are Christians today who have neglected their salvation. Yeah, they got in. They got in by faith. And now you know what they do? They just stumble around. Oh, I'm saved. I'm saved. I know it. And you know what? They are not happy campers. Don't be one of them. If disregard for the law of Moses brought serious sanctions, then how disastrous it would be to neglect the salvation proclaimed by the Lord. This pressing appeal to heed the divine message is firmly grounded in the superiority of the Son, who is the definitive herald of God's word and about whom the Old Testament scriptures bear such eloquent testimony. Pay attention to, act on, God's communique. The message of salvation is not limited to the new birth any more than parenting is limited to having babies. Now, you and I understand that. Oh, we had a baby. Wonderful. What are you going to do with it? Well, we had a baby. What are you going to do with it? Well, we had a baby. We're going to sort of sit around watching. Okay? Yeah. Is that what you want? Is that what good parents do? Answer? No, that's not what they do. There is the expectation of growing up to maturity and responsibility. Folks, God wants me to grow up. Guess what? Go ahead. God wants you to grow up. I'm not busting on you. I hope you understand that. God wants you to grow up to maturity, to responsibility, to assuming a responsible position in the family of God. He wants you to grow up. Message of salvation was proclaimed by the Lord Jesus himself. He introduced the good news because he is the good news. Folks, you without Christ, you don't have any good news. You don't have any good news. And if it's not the Christ of the Bible, it's not good news. It's fake. It's phony. What would you want that for? He introduced the good news because he is the good news. Apart from him, there is no good news. The message of salvation was confirmed to us by those who heard the Lord Jesus in person, pre and post resurrection. That's where we got our gospel message. The message of salvation was validated by God himself. God also bearing witness. That is a courtroom term. God bore witness of the truth. God bore witness to that. How did he do it? Well, here's the evidence. Authentication was through signs, wonders, and miracles. Signs are supernatural occurrences which act as proofs. Wonders are supernatural acts which produced awe. And miracles are displays of divine power. You know, I hear some people say, well, if I just see God do a miracle or something, then I would believe. You know what? That's not a true statement. I just read this week in Jeremiah 32. Signs and wonders, signs and wonders. You know what? What populations saw more signs and wonders than you and I could ever see or will ever see or haven't seen? Does that make sense? Should, okay. You know what generation? The Exodus generation. Remember them? Not the X generation, but the Exodus generation. Those who saw the plagues in Egypt. Signs and wonders. In fact, that's the phrase that's used. Signs and wonders. Let me ask you. Out of those people who exited Egypt and saw all those signs and wonders. Now this is a test. How many entered the promised land? Two. Caleb and Joshua. So much for signs and wonders. Folks, I need to have a heart that's inclined to Jesus Christ. I need to receive him as my Savior. I don't need a miracle. I need the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to tell me, not you, but me, I'm a dirty, rotten guy. I deserve to go to hell. Jesus Christ paid my sin debt. I need to place my faith and trust in him. Any agree? Thank you. That you just agreed that I'm a dirty, rotten rat and all that. I appreciate that. Anyways, moving on. Authentication was through the apostolic gifts which the Holy Spirit granted according to his will. According to his will. They didn't ask for them. And displayed by the apostles in the book of Acts. The God who has spoken his final revelation in his Son had established beyond doubt the reliability of this saving message to the listeners. Salvation is a wonderful gift. You neglect it to your own detriment. There must be a sense of urgency, intentionality, and intensity, a desperate desire to finish well. Folks, let me ask you a question this morning. Don't raise your hand. Are you satisfied with your Christian life? Folks, I wouldn't put my hand up. I'm making progress. I'm okay. I'm doing fine. I'm making progress. But folks, I am not satisfied with my Christian life. I have a desire to go further. I want to walk with the Lord. I want to be consistent. I want to finish well. I found this week. I have to read this over and over again because I'm a little slow. But this is by a man who was at a college. His wife developed, I think it was Alzheimer's. He stepped down from his position at the college to take care of his wife. Wow, pretty amazing. Let me read it and see if we can meditate on it. I fear the dark specter may come too soon, or do I mean too late? He's wrestling. I fear that death may come too soon, or maybe would come too late. That's his fear, that's his concern. That I should end before I finish, or finish, but not well. What's his concern? Finishing well. That I should end before I finish. That means that he should stop before he dies. Stop growing. Stop serving. Wow. That's his concern. That I should stain your honor, shame your name, grieve your loving heart. That's his concern. His concern, he wants to finish well. I don't know how old he is, but if I were a teenager, I would say, Lord, help me to finish well. If I were a young adult, I would say, Lord, help me to finish well. Help me to be a good dad, a good husband, whatever. Lord, help me to finish well. If I were middle-aged, and I'm not, I would say, Lord, help me to finish well. Help me not to sit on my duff and do nothing, stagnate until I die. I don't want to be that way. If I were older, well, that would be me. Lord, help me to finish well. His concern is that he wants to finish well. You know what? We have a dear lady. She's 99. She's getting ready to check out. You know what her concern is? She wants to finish well. 99. Finish well. Yeah. Every believer in this audience this morning ought to have that prayer. Lord, help me to finish well. Say it with me. Ready? Lord, help me to finish well. The thing is, I don't know where my finish line is. Guess what? Neither do you. I have no idea. I'm 64. Lord willing, I'll be 65 someday. Is that my finish line? Is my finish line 70, 75, 80, 85? I don't know. I do know one thing. I want to finish well. Few, they tell me, finish well. Lord, let me get home before dark. What's he saying? I want to be home before I screw up. I want to be home before I mess up. Lord, help me to finish well. Say it with me again. Ready? Lord, help me to finish well. Folks, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know him? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Has there been a time in your life where you can say, Lord, I look back and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I want you to be my Savior. Come into my life and be my Savior today. That's your next step. Next step after that, following the Lord in baptism. We have a young man who's in the service, and he emailed his mom or talked to her. He wants to be baptized. He's come to that place. Folks, if you're saved this morning, your next step is a public declaration. Yes, I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to follow him. I want to be obedient to him. If you've been saved for a period of time, and you're not baptized, my question is, what's wrong? And again, I don't know. My question is, what's wrong? There needs to be that step of obedience in faith. And then there needs to be a time of service, ministry. Where are you this morning? Father, this morning we thank you again for your love and faithfulness. We do ask, God, that you would minister to us. Father, help us. Lord, we have so much. We've heard another message this morning. Another opportunity to hear the word of God, another opportunity to respond. And Father, I pray this morning that you would help us to be a responsive audience. Father, I pray that each one in this auditorium might have that prayer, that desire. Lord, help me to finish well. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Because of the timing of the hour, I'm going to just ask you to stand, and we're going to sing that chorus. He is Lord. Men, let's move quickly.